Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast, Parking the Bus. I'm Palash and...
Hey guys.
Who is it? I don't know this guy, so let's park the bus. Let's notice elephant in the room.
Sure. I'm not going to explain anything because you'll give me some different topics. So you go tell me what we are talking about now.
Elephant in the room means the biggest match that happened this weekend.
Okay.
And that was Italy versus San Marino.
I knew it.
No, UCL final, obviously.
Yeah.
So give me your final 30, like after you won, what did you do?
I actually, like till the end, I couldn't actually believe that, the Mahrez shot in the end literally made me drop my pants because I was so scared. And we were defending really, really, really well. And I have to give all credits to the defense. And when Kai Havertz scored the goal, I couldn't celebrate for about 5-6 seconds because I was making sure if it's not offside. Because it was a clear chance of offside, and Chelsea have been really good in the offside positions. So I was just sitting down. And then when the score changed and the opponent team started playing the match, only I started celebrating. Because that is that is how scared I was. But
football has become today, yeah.
Yeah, and I waited.
Believe that the final whistle has been turned.
I was waiting. Substitution. Oh, outs. I was waiting. And then actually, we won the UCL. And I don't know. I don't have words to describe how happy I was. How
did you cry?
I was a bit we've done it. More happy because that we've beaten Man City and we are denying European trophy. So we've done it in the past by denying Arsenal, and now we are denying Man City also by not giving them a European trophy. It was fun being the underdogs, and I can't believe it actually worked out a way. And I don't know, man, they played, few of them really played well, and I have literally I was so happy. And I had to pinch myself in the morning, the next day morning, because I couldn't believe that we had actually...
Oh, you were able to sleep. Wow.
No, I slept at 4 o'clock and I woke up at 7 or something because I was so excited. And then I woke up at 7 o'clock, I was like, what happened yesterday? And then I went to Twitter and then fans were bursting, photos were coming up, photos. And then I was like, oh, we actually did it. So it was a nice question.
I'll take this conversation to 1 week before, where I should call myself GOAT. I predicted 1-0 Chelsea victory.
Yeah, you did.
And I told you that Man City won't score because Pep Guardiola will do what Pep Guardiola does.
The thing is, I didn't expect him to overthink. And the fact that he's played 4 matches with Chelsea and he's played 4 matches without a defensive midfielder. How he's lost everything without a central defensive midfielder. That is as simple as that. So,
and he was expecting Gundogan to do that job, whereas Gundogan is known to score goals rather than I would have benched Gundogan for if he wanted to start Sterling so bad. I would have benched for Rodri or Fernandinho.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't know what Pep actually thought during the match, because they were only rotating the ball in the midfield. Yes, they were offensive, but they were offensive without a point because they were giving crosses unnecessarily. They could have played through the middle, but I think, I forgot to tell that one man master, that was very important for us.
Hear me out over here for that. It wasn't him alone. People are just praising him. I will give it to Reece James, Rudiger, Christensen. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. I read it.
Azpilicueta. And to an extent to Chilwell too. But these five also deserve as much as praise that he is getting. Yes, he's an engine. He's in defense, he's in attack. But these five, like the way they defended, even Mendy. No, Mendy, I don't think he had a shot to save.
He had one, the match had one shot on target.
Which one? That long ball from Ederson to Sterling when that, right?
Yeah, where, I think that one, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, see, imagine. I feel Man City missed a striker here.
See, the thing is, after Fernandinho and Aguero came onto the pitch, they were actually a little more aggressive, they were a little more better, according to me. Like, Fernandinho changed the entire way of how Man City played. And I think that is where Pep made a mistake. Yes, they missed a striker, but Foden actually gave it his all. And like you said, I think our defense performed really, really well that... I think we were having them pretty much in confined spaces, and how much ever I included hate Timo Werner, the runs he made to just send the defense to pieces suddenly, and the way they couldn't play the high line because of Timo Werner, that is, I think, only one person who can do it, and that is Timo Werner, because he is really fast and he uses the pace to just provide the threat he actually is to the opponent. Even though he doesn't score goals or, you know, does all those things, but I mean, we managed to win the match, and yeah, I will go out of my zone and tell we outclassed.
It was Tuchel's masterclass, to be honest.
Yes.
Even if you look at the Man City team, for Timo Werner, they put Zinchenko.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what was Pep Guardiola seriously thinking with this game. Like, Zinchenko as a left back, like, hardly starts for top six, like Premier League teams. Hardly.
True.
Like, he won't start for Chelsea for sure. He won't start for Arsenal over Pirmi, never. Like, top six, as in the EFL top six, I'm telling. He won't start over Luke. He won't start over, let's say, who is there? Who else? Liverpool's obviously Robertson. He's not starting in Man City.
Yes.
Team which was supposed to have the best players in the world.
They actually could have played Aymeric Laporte, and he would have actually been a very good threat.
Instead of Aymeric Laporte, he could have actually played this. What's his name? Cancelo. Joao Cancelo.
Yeah, true, yes.
Like, I would have started him because in these kind of finals, you don't go for all offense. You can go for quite defensive setup. Then slowly, if you are lagging, like if you are behind, then you can go for offensive style setup.
True, exactly.
If you directly go for an offensive setup and then you are behind, it's so much pressure on your offensive system, because at that point of time, imagine what would have KDB thought or Foden thought, that we are behind, but we have the best attacking threats right now we have, and still we are not able to score. Have the best attacking thing.
Yes.
So it was kind of, I'll say, not kind of, it was a purely Tuchel's masterclass.
True.
And Pep's disaster class.
Yeah, so, I mean, unnecessarily thought everything, I think.
So, where do you see Chelsea going from here now?
I would definitely want them to be very, very, very serious contenders for the Premier League next season.
I told you, right? They will be winning mostly winning until unless this team falls out.
Yeah, and the thing is that I was a little happy about this season was that we were always the underdogs. Like, every match we played, we were supposed to lose. Like, Real Madrid.
No, against not Porto. Porto, you were supposed to win.
Porto, yes, we were favorites. Totally agreed. But other than that, every match in the Champions League, they were like, oh, Chelsea. Oh, like, everyone wanted to play against us.
they were like, oh, we want Chelsea, we want Chelsea, we want Chelsea. So I was like, being the underdog and then winning the Champions League is something, a very different ball game.
Because yeah, and at the start of season, had I, like, if I would have asked you, I guess I asked you also, yeah, no one would have predicted Chelsea. No,
yeah, totally.
People would have predicted Man City before.
Even in the predictions, we put Man City versus PSG versus Real Madrid in the finals, and Real Madrid to take it all or something, I think.
Hmm. So you took Man City to take it all, but I put Real Madrid.
Yes, true, correct, exactly. So, I mean, who would have thought that this is actually the outcome which happened, and that too. With crazy stats in the Champions League. We only conceded 3 goals in the Champions League, lowest in a season by a team. It's actually something very, very, very amazing when we played
and
against.
I guess one against Porto, one against Madrid, and third one against
Krasnodar.
Oh,
yeah.
Sevilla, you beat them
4-0. Yes,
1-0 or 2-0.
Yeah.
One next leg 1-0, 2-0, I'm not sure.
Yeah, 2-0 or something, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah.
So I mean, I couldn't, like, those were some crazy stats, and like, even I think, yeah, like you said, I was also not confident that we'll win the match because Man City were clear favorites and clear.
No, they were not favorites. I said it before, I'll say it again. It was a 50-50 game, and I feel like, okay, Man City had an edge over Chelsea. That was because of what Pep Guardiola is known for.
Yes, true.
If it was Man City against Real Madrid also, people would have preferred Man City.
Yeah, because they are a team. Like, they play so well as a team that you will not think, oh, this guy is weak, because they
up
their game.
I didn't know
Ruben Dias was this good before this. I honestly will tell you, I didn't know Ruben Dias was this good to become Premier League player of the season. I never thought that.
He isn't a Premier League player of the season yet, right?
I think for some award they've given him Premier League player of the season. I'm not sure.
And that was a local award, I guess.
Yeah, or maybe. I don't know.
If you give it to him, then it's a robbery I'll say it's a robbery. He doesn't deserve it. I'll be honest, because Man City before Ruben Dias, what did they achieve? Premier League Carabao Cup. After Ruben Dias, Premier League Carabao Cup.
I think PFA Premier League player of the season is him only.
No, it's not him. It's not decided. The voting was going on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, true. I think I don't know.
Hmm.
I think next season it is going to be an amazing season because of all the craziness which is going to happen. I hope we stay the same, we play the same, we are that threat we are. Because
do you
like
want
you
any
said,
signings?
I want actually only one signing in Chelsea.
Who?
Declan Rice.
But who will he replace?
No, the thing is, I think Jorginho was a little shaky in few moments of the season. And to be honest, if you ask me if you would be happy with a no transfer this season, yes, I would be definitely happy because I wouldn't mind it. But if there's a scenario where we could actually sign a player, I would want one player, which is Declan Rice, because I feel the Declan Rice Kante pivot, which Tuchel can play, will be really, really amazing. And Declan Rice, you know how good he is going forward too. And for England also, he won 2 Man of the Matches continuously. So,
but the thing with Declan Rice is, Tuchel has to like him. Because I was watching one Mourinho's video when he was at Chelsea. He was like, he went to Abramovich. Tuchel actually met Abramovich after winning.
Yes.
For the first time. Yeah. So, yes. I was watching one Mourinho's videos where he told that Roman came to him and said, I don't have much time. Tell me what players you want and I want to win the Premier League. I want to win the biggest trophies ever. And just tell me the players you want and we'll start working on getting them. So, he told that in 10 minutes he told all the players and they started to work. Like he didn't care what transfer money or what is that. He just started. A lot of credit goes to him also. Like,
I mean, I definitely would give all the credit. I would definitely give all the credit to our to Roman Abramovich, because he literally splashed for a couple of seasons. And yeah, we spent a little of Hazard's money too. But the fact that he gives back the money to the club, you know, there are a few owners who suck the money out of the club. Like, you know, no offense to anyone, but Arsenal, like Stan Kroenke takes money out of Arsenal. He doesn't pour in money. All I want from an owner is to give the money which the club earns. That's all. You take a little, surely, but you have to give in something too. And that is what Roman Abramovich is doing very, very, very amazingly. And I love Roman. And yeah, I think if there's a player who I want in Chelsea right now, it would be Declan Rice. The Lukaku, Jadon Sancho, I don't understand them. I do not want them in Chelsea, because I don't feel I feel they will waste their career, because like there'll be a lot of players who will waste their career if those two sign, and I do not exactly want that. So yeah, this is, I feel the ideal season would, ideal transfer will only be Declan Rice to Chelsea, that's all. Since being a Chelsea academy too, I think he would blend in immediately. So yeah, you've been asking me this question. I was thinking for a long time, what would be the ideal window for Tottenham Hotspurs?
Oh.
I mean, first of all, do you think the manager, is Antonio Conte coming?
They are saying he's very close, not going to lie. But I doubt like whether he'll come or not, because like I'm sure he will come, but whether it will be a success, that's a different question. Because when he left Chelsea by saying that he didn't find that club, I guess, ambitious is the word he used.
Like, he told that if Tottenham doesn't win trophies, it is very normal. But at Chelsea, you have to expect...
Like, why he left?
Yeah. I honestly don't know, man. If I want, like, as a Chelsea fan, obviously I do not want Antonio Conte in Tottenham, because I know what he's capable of. But I do not know.
Like, no, I'm asking why he left Chelsea.
Oh, he had a dispute with the board, and he had a fight with couple of players, and he was not in good terms, and he left.
Yeah. So that's what my thing is. Like, I doubt that he'll be a success, because you have to spend a lot for him and like under him to get that level of success. I remember when he was in Chelsea, he spent on Kante, he got Willian, he got David Luiz, who were the main threats in your team, I guess.
Like, he mainly had a very big fight with Diego Costa.
Yeah.
And Diego Costa left Chelsea because of that.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he brought in certain players who became the main integral part of that Chelsea squad.
True. Yeah, true. But, you know, I mean, if it's okay, best case scenario, if Antonio Conte comes, who would you want to talk? Who do you think he would bring to Tottenham?
I don't know, actually. That's our thing is that in this transfer is not, first of all, we have to keep Harry Kane safe.
True, correct. Totally true.
I'm sure that if Antonio Conte comes and he's not going anywhere, because then you can't just bring in a top manager and say that, okay, my best player, you can go. They must be giving him some assurances, and I don't know what. Like, I don't know what to say. Yeah.
Fair point, correct.
Yeah.
I think Harry Kane is a more important asset to your than bringing in people. So, true, correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm moving on to our next topic. From Man City, what do you think we should, like, what can fix Man City?
I think they will definitely go in for a striker, maybe. I don't know, man. Like, if Man City needs something, because
Phil Foden is evolving into a great, great player. And, you know, they have a lot of good players. I'm not sure who they will actually need, because they have perfect people for every role. I think maybe they could go for a CDM because you know, they missed out on Jorginho a couple of years ago, and then I think they've not been able to fill the void. So I think they will go all in out for a midfielder, maybe. Maybe like Marquinhos or someone like that.
I'm sure that for Man City, they should go for a striker, first of all. Lukaku, Haaland, go for them. Even Kane.
Yeah, I mean, Kane, if he goes to Man City, I'm done, because then you cannot stop that team.
The thing with that is, if we sell Kane to Man City, it will become like a more of a farmer's league, because one team is so strong. Like, what Man City missed this season, one thing was goal scorer.
Mm.
If you give a guy who scores goals, and like that too with KDB in that team, it's going to be a nightmare for others.
I mean, Harry Kane already is Harry Kane has more assists than De Bruyne this season, right?
Yeah.
Imagine, I cannot even imagine what kind of a menace it would be if Harry Kane goes to Man City. So, I just really hope that, you know, Harry Kane either stays in Tottenham or goes to some other league. Doesn't stay in the Premier League, because...
That is what I'm also hoping, and that will only happen, I'm pretty sure.
Because I'm sure he won't go to Arsenal.
No chance, Arsenal. He won't go to Chelsea also.
Yes.
Like he might want, but that thing is, we won't sell it to Chelsea. In past, we have seen few transfers that have been.
Yeah, done. And the thing is, like, Chelsea and Tottenham have that much of hate over each other that I don't think anything of that sort is definitely happening, because.
And that too, like, after you guys winning UCL.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing is, we seem like the like a good destination right now. But the thing is that we should be able to afford that much amount of money to buy a striker when we actually already have a striker. And I think Kai Havertz will definitely start playing in the centre a little bit more than the CDM role. So,
sure, like in Euros also, he'll be used like that.
Yeah, so let's...
Yeah, that's a bigger question. So I guess let's discuss a bit of Euros and transfer markets, and then we'll get wrapped up.
Yeah, before that, I think one issue that I have to definitely, like, I've been waiting to talk about in the podcast is Carlo Ancelotti. Because I cannot believe what happened till now also, because I was very sure that he wouldn't leave Everton. Because I thought he was, you know, he was set for the club, you know. He bought in James Rodriguez, promised him a project, and you know, the Everton were actually a team which were actually, you know, being a threat to quite a few teams, at least early on in the season. And I couldn't believe that you know, they Carlo Ancelotti decided to take, meaning obviously the Real Madrid job is a very, very high appearing job, and the fact that he's been there before and won trophies for them. I think, yes, I understand, but I couldn't believe that this actually happened. And I hear speculations that Nuno Espirito Santo is taking over Everton, and I don't know what to think about it too, because I don't know, man. More than transfer of players this season, I think manager market is happening.
Literally irritating for me. Like, you don't know who manager is going to end up there.
Exactly. True. And because I heard that Pochettino has told PSG that he wants to leave.
He hasn't. The thing is, from what I understand is, PSG, like, he has to come in public and say that I want to leave this club. And from what I know of Pochettino, he will never do that. He will never disrespect the club like others. So, I guess he'll stay, and I guess next conference he'll say that I'm here to stay.
Yeah, maybe that is also a possibility.
Yeah, so a lot of speculations around this was going on, and Euros are coming. So, who's your favorite? I guess you are a Germany fan?
Yeah. Yes.
So, are you favorites?
I mean, definitely not.
It's like MS Dhoni telling definitely not on the English
fans. Bro, I think if Hansi Flick could have taken over, yes, I would be unnecessarily overconfident. But with Lowe still in place, and I'm not sure about how we can outperform the other teams. With
the thing is, the team has to gel pretty well. Like, Thomas Muller has to be on his peak. Everyone has to play their best in order for you to be like beat teams like Portugal or let's say, what else is there? France. Like France, imagine, I was discussing it with my friend.
Yeah.
Teams alone were not able to handle Kante. Now imagine N'Golo Kante plus Pogba, that is a French Pogba. As a team, like he's wearing a French badge in his chest. So that guy is a different beast altogether. So imagine like that.
Yeah, and to top it all off, you have to have Mbappe and Griezmann in the French jersey. Up front.
Yeah.
And, like, if Giroud wasn't enough threat, they bought in Benzema also right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
correct.
I mean, I do not know. I think they sound clear favorites to me. I feel...
And Portugal to me. Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, and also, like, I mean, both of them are in the same group as Germany, which kills me because both of them are favorites to even win the trophy. So, yeah. I do not...
And England's also a good team. What do you make out of England?
I'm going to literally tell that only because England has an amazing, amazing squad. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I will not win with the squad because they are really having an amazing, you know, every player in England had an amazing season. Every player.
Mm-hmm.
Not anyone. Including Tyrone Mings, Ollie Watkins.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of players included. Everyone had an season. And obviously, I think they should be in the top form. I do not know if this England cannot win anything. I don't know what team can because they should dominate. They should definitely dominate.
Mm. Apart from that, Italy is a good team.
Yes, definitely. And.
For teams like Italy or I'll say Belgium or...
Belgium is actually another team which you should actually consider watching because Eden Hazard in a Belgium jersey right now with Lukaku banging goals for Inter Milan. I think he's in the top form of his life.
Yeah.
So, if they are used well there perfectly, I think Belgium will become a threat. I think I heard some news that De Bruyne is going to miss out the Euros because of injury or something. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not know exactly. And I mean, they have a really good squad. You know, Yuri Tillmans and, you know, those kind of people also are there to give in the balls. So, I don't know, man. Like, every team seems strong from one perspective and every team seems a little weak from one perspective. So... Mm-hmm. You never know what to expect. I think we have to do is just wait and watch what is going to happen.
Yeah, sure. Like, not sure. I mean, that is what is...
Exactly. I get it.
Yeah. So, I guess... I don't feel like talking a lot today because there's nothing. Like, Champions League final happened and it was such a big event. Like, after that, I myself want to rest my throat for 1 week. I feel like that.
True, and I think after the Euros start, we will have so much to talk about with the transfer market also kicking in the same moment.
Yeah,
I think we will have a lot more to talk about. After the Euros start, which will be next week. You know, June 11th, Euros are starting, and team squads now friendlies are going on, and you know those kind of things are happening. We could actually even do a prediction video of the Euros also, you know, prediction audio.
Sure.
I'm sorry, prediction podcast.
Next podcast, I promise we'll do a prediction.
Like the Champions League group stages, we can actually predict the Euros group stages, which would actually be a lot of fun considering the players which are there in each team. You know,
we'll just predict the group stages at first. Then
then we look at it later. I mean, I think this would be a nice thing that people could await.
Yeah, for sure.
Hmm.
So what else is left to talk?
I think we've covered pretty much. Said the only big event which happened is the Champions League. because the Europa League finished the previous week itself.
We discussed that also.
Exactly. So the only event which happened was the Champions League, and you know, it'll only be showboating or flexing that about how we won the trophy. But I don't think there is anything more very important to talk about. Rather than, I think transfer market is going to kick in pretty soon. I think next week it'll be a lot more about transfers and you know Euro predictions kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. This week it is just the you know the calm before the storm, if you would believe.
I guess so, right?
Yeah.
So what else is left? I guess this is the time to wrap up.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, guys, for listening. Thank you, Shiv Charan.
Thank you, guys.
Peace out and bye-bye.